Hello.
Hello.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Goodbye. None of us know where we are right now.
You're off somewhere, Catherine.
No, I'm just slightly confused.
Right, okay. Yeah, you know
fantastic.
That, you know that Hello. Radio show that we do, Catherine?
Yes, that old thing.
Oh, are we just starting the radio show?
You know when we say hello to
yes.
everyone.
Right, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
And in the week where Einstein finally got to do his I Told You So dance.
Indeed, he did. And in the week where my script is not cooperating with me at all.
This is totally spontaneous.
Yes. Yeah, don't worry.
And
don't...
in the week where a woman in Alabama let her dog out to pee, it got distracted and ending up running a half marathon. In which
that happens to me all the time.
In which it came seventh. This is my favourite story ever.
And in the week where, I hope I'm reading out the right one. In the week where
totally
police in Amsterdam are training eagles to snatch drones out of the sky.
Oh, I did read that.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is also a fantastic story.
But in all of those weeks.
In all of those weeks, it's the Geekly Chronicles.
Hello.
Totally planned perfectly. Episode number 9.
Yes, episode 9.
Rather excitingly.
Quite amazing, actually.
We've survived. We've managed not to cause ourselves serious personal injury.
Well, and it's the
more than
usual.
The normal amount.
Oh, and it's the penultimate episode in the series.
It is, which is equally scary.
Oh, and what is even more scary is that next week's episode.
It's not next week.
We have an ultimate pen.
Is that the next episode? Is in 2 weeks' time. The next episode on the 26th of February is, what is it?
Geekly Live.
Which means.
TV
stuff.
Goodness.
Great. So I'm sat here prepared, doing a show. You two are somewhere else entirely.
I've got my notes written down on the back of a napkin.
Right.
So.
No, you don't even have notes.
I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah. Great.
You're lovely. Just on Twitter.
So this is the Geekly Chronicles in the week where my co-hosts gave up on life.
Basically, yeah.
Thanks, both of you. It's really
you're,
good.
I'm pretty
you're
much
welcome.
Just sitting here refreshing my emails in case my old school science teacher emails me back.
But we'll tell you why that's a
why
that's
why
a
Catherine
thing,
is stalking
surely.
Her ex-teachers.
Absolutely.
Later
Maybe
in the show.
Stalking is my job.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It
so
is.
We have got loads on the show for you tonight. We have all of the usual kind of features. So we'll have Game of Geeks. It's the last Game of Geeks in which Chris and I get to face off and really
I mean,
see.
I've already lost.
You have.
But... This is mainly now for pride more than anything else.
Yeah, we'll see if you can win this week.
Uh-huh. You said that with such a friendly and like welcoming and face that implied that could totally be possible.
Yep, you could totally win this week. Honest, honest. We have also got the Tumble Fumble. We have got a forecast. We've got assorted other things. We've got a Would You Rather this week, which we will reveal after our first song. Requests? Can people do that?
People can request
thing.
On Twitter and via our chat.
Yes.
How?
How? Well, you need to tweet us on Twitter at GKRY.
C-O.
No, GKRYCO.
Good.
How long have I been doing this?
You're as on the ball as a dead seal this week.
Oh, fantastic.
And, so tweet at GKRYCO and add the hashtag request with obviously details of your request. Or in the chat, you can type !request and then your request.
Yep, and
She's
it will
nailed it.
Get added to our request queue here in the background. We've had some requests come in pre-show already, which is great. So you know how
See,
we
I
do...
I might not be on the ball, but our listeners are.
They are.
Yeah.
Now, you know how we do the show live and then we record it and put it on the internet afterwards so that people can listen to it?
That is a thing.
Yeah, you know we do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of informed that would be happening.
Well, someone regularly listens to it after the live event because it's like 4 a.m. in Australia where
I'm
they are
I'm glad
right
someone
now.
Does.
Let me see what the time in Australia is. 5 a.m. It's 5 a.m. So one of our listeners in Australia is going to be listening back to this show on Sunday on a drive between two Australian cities and would like a request.
Well.
So we are going to play that request. So this is for Rory. Rory
Hello,
in Australia.
Rory.
You've requested this song. Thank you for listening. We hope we provide pleasant driving entertainment for you in the future. And we hope we provide good non-futury entertainment for those of you that are joining us here in the present.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. Oh, there's geeks on the wavelength.
That'll be us.
It would.
Geeks on the wavelength.
We are. We are already here.
And we are geeks. I would say.
Allegedly.
Are you a geek?
Yeah.
Okay.
More or less.
Aha. Uh-huh. So
mostly
this,
more.
What's, yeah. Oh, I've got a button I can press for this, actually.
You know those party games that everyone thinks are still fun when you're sober, but really aren't? It's time for Would You Rather.
Aha! Would you rather? So every week we let you, the listeners, vote between two things. This week we have quite an interesting one for you. Catherine, what is this week's Would You Rather?
Oh, you could just see me looking at my phone and wanting to catch me, didn't you? Okay, so...
Okay, I mean, I've got it on my screen in front of me.
Away.
I have the chat on my phone.
The chat doesn't need you all the time.
Okay, okay so... Okay,
so
there are reasons for this Would You Rather. We just haven't quite...
And we will talk about them shortly.
Yes.
Yes.
But for the time being, the question is, would you rather discover that your wardrobe is a TARDIS or find a portal to Narnia in the back of your wardrobe?
See, that is quite... I know, it's tough, because obviously a TARDIS, I could go anywhere in time and space, but it'd have to
but
be
probably
in this...
not Narnia.
Well, it would be in this universe, whereas Narnia is like a portal to this alternate universe of Narnia.
But I
Narnia
suppose
you is might a portal
find
to Narnia.
A Narnia planet.
Well, a planet that's just a bit like Narnia.
Yeah.
If I had a portal to Narnia in my cupboard, I could go and actually meet Mr. Tumnus.
Mm. See, this doesn't really mean much to me because I haven't really Narnia'd. It wasn't part
out.
Of my childhood.
Get out.
I can't.
I mean, I kind of...
Oh, yeah.
I'm all wired in.
Yeah, so
that's very true.
Plus, my chair makes a scraping noise.
That is true.
Wouldn't sound pleasant.
We really need to invest in wheels for chairs for Series 4.
Yes, but because giving Catherine a wheelie chair is definitely a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
I just end up strangling myself.
with a wheelie chair.
Around with your wire.
With my cable-y headphone-y thing.
So, obviously, like, having a TARDIS wardrobe has its perks. I'm just thinking about, like, a Narnia wardrobe. You could meet Mr. Tumnus, but, like... Surely that's only going to be fun once.
There is that thing, don't meet your childhood heroes.
Yeah,
not that Mr. Tumnus was a childhood
was a hero.
You know, he was just some git in a forest. But
basically.
I'm sure you'll find plenty of those.
But Narnia is responsible for my love of Turkish delight, thanks to, thanks to the whole Turkish delight thing in there that means nothing to you because you've never watched it.
Think about how quickly and instantly you could get Turkish delight.
With a TARDIS,
a TARDIS wardrobe.
Oh, if I had a TARDIS, I'd be able to go to Turkey and get
just
it from
because,
the source.
Mm-hmm. Just because they eat a lot of Turkish delight in Narnia doesn't mean they hand it out to you when you go.
They do if you make friends with the Queen.
Well, yeah.
Like the icy, horrible Queen person.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
I'm pretty sure she's dead now, though.
Yeah, there was that whole thing. There were lions involved. And
witches as well.
Witches.
Some kind of wardrobe.
Yeah.
Was there a lion?
Yeah, believe it or not. So the Would You Rather this week I think is very interesting because I think it's going to be divided along fan base lines, but
basically
I'm a fan of Doctor Who and I'm a fan of Narnia.
And the votes are already splurging
pouring in.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it all for TARDIS?
More or less,
yeah,
I'm going to be honest.
It might be.
It's not all for TARDIS.
No, opinion
quite a lot for TARDIS.
Is mildly divided.
Ooh.
I know. It's going to be all kinds of crazy dramatic reveal.
And ultimately far more important than any presidential caucus happening in the United States right now.
Yes, it is. So if you want to let us know whether you prefer TARDISes or Tumnuses.
Yes. Tardi or Tumni.
Yes. Yes, sure. Go to gkly.co/WYR, which stands for Would You Rather.
So it does.
We're creative like that.
And if you don't actually know what the Chronicles of Narnia is, then say so, because I'm sure we've got plenty of listeners who would love to educate you. But of course, that does bring to the forefront the debate of which Narnia is the best Narnia. And obviously the books are fantastic. I've read all the books. I read them when I was a small person.
How many books are there?
Oh, there are loads. Not all of them were ever televised or turned into films. I mean, it all starts off with The Magician's Apprentice, which never got made other than, I think, a one-off special. They all tend to start with The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which is the second book. And then there are others. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader was a great one based on a boat, and that introduced a couple of great extra characters. But really, the films were kind of based on the books. But there was a BBC television series in the 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, that I'm a huge fan of, absolutely huge fan of.
I think and I remember that being on, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's just great. But it was like a BBC, it was like a CBBC thing. Mm-hmm. So on children's BBC, they would have these kind of half-hour episodes, and I thought they were brilliant. And I recently found the DVD, I say recently, probably about 10 years ago, in a bargain bin somewhere. And every now and then I just get it out and break out the Turkish Delight and relive the childhood kind of love of the Chronicles of Narnia, the BBC version. I also quite liked the films. I thought the films were good, but they weren't the TV series. That'll always be my favourite, I think.
Amy says yay for BBC Narnia.
Well, and Amy did indeed request that we play the theme tune from BBC Narnia. It was indeed the first request in the request queue. Rachel says there were 7 books of the Chronicles of Narnia. 7.
Ooh. Wow.
7 Blimey. Books. That's as many books as there are Horcruxes, but that's a whole other fantasy universe.
I think I have read approximately a quarter of the 7 books.
What?
Yeah, I know. I don't really get crochet, but I knit a lot, so.
Advances what? In wool science that none of us are quite prepared for.
Yeah, so those of you on Twitter and Tumblr will have seen that we have this little fella with us. His name is Teensy12.
Teensy12.
Yeah. So he.
Oh,
is that
why he looks like Peter Capaldi?
Yes.
Oh, the 12th Doctor.
Yes, that's why he has this gorgeous pyroclastic flow of a hairdo.
Amazing.
And these rather impressive eyebrows.
They are fantastic.
They are. Oh, they are impressive eyebrows.
The eyebrows are the.
They're
on this,
on, they're
this
on,
model,
they're on fleek.
They are perfect.
They're on fleek.
For the doll, because the whole kind of facial expression as a result of the eyebrows says, if nothing else, says, why are you putting me through this indignity? Which yes. I think is perfect for a little tiny doll of the 12th Doctor.
Yeah, who gets taken places. Really,
gets put
you know,
through a lot
why,
of indignity.
Really any...
Why do you have the doll then? What's the deal? Do some people have it sometimes? Or
Okay, so he was made by Ginny from Missouri. I know her through Tumblr. Really
hi, Ginny
no
from
other
Missouri.
Way than that. And I hope I've got that right. I really do. And please, Ginny, if I've got that wrong, let me know. And he's being sent around the world to hang out with various companions, go on adventures, and...
Has he found his baby? That song, you know, it's been around the world, but...
And
I can't find my baby.
I don't know. I don't think he's found a baby.
Chris is looking at me like, what are you doing?
Why?
Yeah.
Because we're old and weird.
Yeah.
So before me, he was in Helsinki, and he's going to go on to Glasgow.
That's like a homecoming for,
yes.
for PCAP.
Yes.
Indeed it is. Yep.
So we have Teensy12 with us in the studio today.
We do.
Who's now glaring at me.
Yes.
And Teensy12 will be with us in 2 weeks' time for the live show as well.
So you'll be able to see him with your eye holes as well as your ear holes.
Yes, indeed. So if you get to come along to the studio for that, remember you can get tickets to come and be in the studio and watch the filming of Geekly Live as it goes out live. You can come and say hello and shake hands with Teensy12 live. And if you're watching on screen, as many of you I know will be, you'll be able to see Teensy12, as well as all of us for the first time on screen, on television.
You'll finally discover how good we are at staying in our humanoid forms.
Yes, we...
we rarely revert to our non-corporeal
selves. Yes. I mean, we do when we're on the radio, but like TV, we decided to put ourselves back in the skin suits.
We three blobs.
Yes.
So... On that note,
well-known Christmas carol.
Yes, we three blobs of radio are.
Yes.
So,
yes, we
Catherine.
Are.
What?
Jeez.
What?
Is this a prompt for the tumble fumble?
More random happenings from across the internet. It's the tumble fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Yes, it is time for the tumble fumble.
Yes, okay. Fantastic. We did that well, didn't we?
We are mainly...
Over to you, Catherine.
So we're on Twitter mainly this time, I think, if memory serves. My laptop decided to restart, so I've lost my notes. Okay, so we have a Twitter account called Twimmerix, I think.
Twitmerix, I think we've got here, which is even more difficult to spell.
And say, incidentally.
Yes.
So essentially, it's a Twitter account that makes up topical limericks and tweets them. Not really much more to say than that.
Have we got an example?
Well, Chris is scrolling through the hay at the moment. Have you any...
A patent official in Bern found science had plenty to learn. Mein Gott, he declared, E is MC squared, and space-time can slow down and turn.
Excellent. I really like that. That's very good. And also a little topical with our guest later.
Indeed. Spoiler alert.
Oh.
So, yeah.
A Twitter restructuring threat got users a little upset. Jack Dorsey said, chill, we're not going to kill the timeline you love. Well, not yet.
That's that, awesome. That,
that
is
time
that is
they
really
nearly
good.
Nearly messed up Twitter.
What, as in like for that time this week that they yes. messed up Twitter? For those of our users that aren't regular Twitter users, for those of our listeners rather that aren't regular Twitter users, Twitter is about to be destroyed as it is every week.
Yes.
Twitter say they're going to do something, then they either don't do it or do it badly and then take it away again and everything stays roughly the same, but with a few more ads.
Yeah, and they never ever give us the edit button that we all want.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Yeah. I was tweeting a lot about cooking, as I tend to do, and I was tweeting this week about making various stocks because I'm trying to, you know, not use stock cubes. I'm trying to make stocks from scratch. And ever since then, I've had loads of adverts in my Twitter timeline for stockbroker applications.
Yeah.
Like the algorithm is just not quite clever enough.
No.
So I get...
to know that you're talking about, you know, chicken stock.
So I'm like, I don't care. I just want to eat sandwiches and chicken and stuff. I don't want to make money out of stockbroker apps. Maybe I should. Maybe this is,
that's the
this
next...
is my calling.
Yes.
The universe is telling you.
Stuff
invest.
Cooking, get into finance. I'll be depressed and unhappy, but hey, I'll be thin.
All right.
And potentially yeah. wealthy.
Yeah. Potentially wealthy, yes.
There are those people
or
that
just
say
really, really broke.
There are those people that say nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, but they've obviously never tried food.
Yes.
So what else have we got on the Tumble Fumble?
On the Tumble Fumble, we also have an account I've been following for ages, and I just thought, and I don't think I've thought of it for the Tumble Fumble before because it isn't really funny, but it is often interesting.
It's not really funny.
No.
Thanks. You're already selling it to us.
Why do we even do this segment if it's not going to be funny?
Okay, so it's called Old Pics Archive, and it is exactly what it says in the username.
That is very true. I'm scrolling through it now.
It's old pictures. So it could be anything from, you know, people on the sets of old TV shows, stuff from, you know, old catalogues, you know, old pictures of famous people, old pictures of places.
Or just non-famous
generally,
people. Just old pictures.
Just old pictures.
Is that like a time frame to this? Is it old as in like 100 years, 200 years, 400 years? They didn't have photos then,
old
did
as,
they?
You know,
as old as photography, but newer, but not so new that we'd say it was modern.
Yeah.
That makes so little sense.
So, yeah.
I'm just retweeting like every third one at random here.
What, so describe some of the photos.
So I have retweeted so far. We have Frida Kahlo painting. We have Linda Carter on the set of Wonder Woman. There's a picture down here somewhere of Debbie Harry, photographed by Brian Duffy in 1977.
Okay, well, those are fairly old, I suppose.
These are just some old pictures.
Do we have anything else in the Tumble Fumble this week?
We do. We have
exciting.
We Fix Your Adverts.
Is this like WeBuyAnyAdvert.com?
Not really, no.
Okay.
This is one of my favourite Twitter accounts ever.
Yeah,
and I'm
I think
very
I
glad
discovered
it's come
it
into
through
the
you, year. Chris. So why don't you kind of tell us, how did you find it? What did you do?
I found it. It was retweeted into my Twitter feed thingy. By someone.
That's the technical term.
Yes,
Twitter
that is the technical
feed
term.
Thingy.
Yes. I believe that's what Jack Dorsey calls it. By someone who must clearly have been very funny. Because it's at We Fix Your Advert, and basically they take adverts and they fix them. For example.
But were they broken this, before? What's
yeah.
So sometimes they're a little not safe.
They're
for
a little
work.
Sweary, yes. But
okay.
We've a few that are kind of clean. For example, British Gas. All your money has gone on the rights to that Blur song on the advert.
That is true. Good Blur song.
Southern Electric. If you can call customer service and get to the department you actually wanted, then you're a wizard. I have edited that that one slightly. Eon. Wind turbines are proven to stop wild giraffes. Don't believe us? Well, you don't see any giraffes around, do you? But today they have been working with energy companies, it says. The new TfL safety campaign they have also worked on, saying, Graham, get off the track. It's only a Kindle. Fast food restaurants.
Jeez.
Domino's Pizza. It's like eating shame. Delicious, delicious shame.
See, that is true, because I always feel whenever I order a Domino's Pizza, I always think, this is so expensive and I could make it myself and I could go to the supermarket and buy something that tastes just as good. But then I get it and I'm like, nothing tastes as good as a Domino's pizza.
The advert voice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's the advert voice, right? Yeah. Nothing tastes as good as a Domino's pizza.
Probably.
Right.
McDonald's, a restaurant where it's socially acceptable for you to have a chicken nugget related emotional breakdown.
What?
I can't say I've ever done that.
I've never done that. But maybe as a two-year-old.
They have chicken cottage as well.
Nuggets!
It's 2 a.m. You're drunk. We have food. In quote marks.
In air quotes. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Chicken cottage. Burger King, the nutritional equivalent of eating sand.
All right. Well.
So these are some adverts that have been fixed.
Fantastic.
And we shall retweet a few of those. Absolutely. So you can see them in all their sweary glory.
Well, so thank you. Is that the Tumble Fumble?
That is the Tumble
That's
Fumble.
That's the Tumble Fumble. Thank you, Catherine. Fantastic.
We have tumbled and had a small amount of fumble.
Absolutely. And the Tumble Fumble will be back next week at the live show, where we will be doing some very visual
fumbling.
Fumbles. Yes.
Visual fumbling.
This is a family show.
Yeah.
It's a family show
kind of way, yes.
Remember that thing where we're trying not to get Ofcom angry at us?
Yeah, let's not lose our clean rating. Thanks.
Yes.
So, coming up after the next song, we've got... we're going to talk a little bit about one of those things that really has our nerd credentials on edge, and that would be...
things about gravity.
We're going where no Geekly presenter has gone before.
Oh my goodness, we are.
Oh my God.
Birmingham.
To be fair.
That is actually true.
That is quite true.
And
in fairness, I have been there before.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there before, but
Geekly
not,
hasn't.
Not in a Geekly duty.
No, we'll be off to Birmingham and we'll tell you why we're off to Birmingham very shortly. We've got an update on the prize draw coming up. A forecast. We've got a great guest on this evening as well, so we'll be talking about that more later. But now, you know, you mentioned that British Gas advert.
I did mention that British Gas advert.
And how it's got a Blur song in it.
Yes. I do love, you know, gas and electricity.
Yeah. It does make you think a bit of British Bass, doesn't it?
British Bass.
Did you never see that advert?
No.
No.
Like EDF or something, like our prices are lower than the competition that we can't name. Thanks, British Bass. It was quite funny.
I see.
I have no memory.
I watched too much TV a few years ago.
Indeed. Brief would you rather update. The vote is now getting a lot closer.
Really?
It really is.
Oh, exciting.
At the moment, it is separated by one vote.
That's intense.
It is.
That is intense.
I'm not going to tell you which way round it is, but do get your votes in.
Or which tents they're in.
Yes. TARDIS or Tumnus. GKLY.co/WYR.
Yes. But Birmingham.
I know.
Birmingham, Birmingham, Birmingham. As Amy said in the chat room, Birmingham is near Coventry.
It is.
That is correct. But we're going to Birmingham in October.
So we've got
like the whole of Geekly Series 4 to go before this, but there are going to be regular updates because this is very exciting. What has a big birthday in October?
I think the birthday is actually September, but it's Star Trek.
Star Trek is turning how old?
50.
Oh!
I know!
50!
That's a number.
50!
Half a century.
50!
Of Trekking.
50 years of Star Trek. I mean, yeah. an epic... Epic series. Whether you're a fan or not, Star Trek has shaped the world around it. I mean, You know, the
most people,
people
have heard of Mr. Spock and the USS Enterprise. And
the people that invented the first mobile phone said they originally got the idea from seeing the communicators in the original Star Trek. So people are inspired by science fiction, and no science fiction has penetrated society as much as Star Trek.
In fact, I remember during... so, like, Apple and Samsung have this ongoing let's sue each other every 3 months situation going And when... I think when the iPad originally came out, then Samsung made a tablet and Apple said, no, you can't do that. We invented it first. And Samsung said, well, actually, no, because in Star Trek...
They have pads, personal access display devices.
So they brought that to the trial and said, yeah, well, you didn't think of it first. So, yeah.
If you want to sue anyone, Gene Roddenberry should be suing us all.
Basically. That's the lesson we take from this.
As he orbits the Earth.
Yes, as he orbits the Earth. But it really has kind of penetrated society on every level. Things like Star Trek. I mean, obviously, Star Wars and other sci-fi has had a major impact. But Star Trek, 50 years of that franchise, it's been huge. There have been so many incarnations of it. I mean, I'm sure if I looked at the chat room right now, people will tell me if they're fans of Star Trek.
Okay, now we all clap.
We're waiting for people. The chat room. We're waiting for the delay as this goes out on...
the first response says, I am not. is that because you've not seen any, or because you've just you just don't like it? Because I guarantee if you watched more of it, you might like it.
Just keep putting it in your eye and ear holes until you like it.
Fine. Cartoon Code says
I do the same with coffee.
But whether you're a fan or not, there's no doubt that Star Trek has impacted probably some part, or if not all parts, of your life on various levels. Now, I'm a Star Trek fan. I always have been. I used to watch it a lot when I was younger. I'm not, and probably wouldn't call myself a Trekker. I like Star Trek. I like watching Star Trek. I can probably quote bits and pieces at you, but I'm not... Like, I haven't watched them all through loads of times. There are definitely episodes I haven't seen or series that I haven't seen. You know, I can't name all the characters. I don't have all of the facts. But one of our presenters is a bit more of a Trekker.
Well,
and it is not me.
I think I've watched Star Trek since I was six. And
constantly.
Literally for the entire time.
In my teens, it was my life.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
So let me get, as a teenage Catherine, Star Trek was your life.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Nice.
It was my whole existence.
Your whole existence.
Yes.
So you have watched a lot of Star Trek.
Yeah, you know, if I was feeling a little bit low, I would take the day and get all the Star Trek videos off the shelves and rearrange them.
So a Star Trek fan with OCD.
Yeah. Right. I think I've seen you do that like now, though. So to be fair.
Yeah. I'm sure I've been at your house where you've just suddenly taken your DVDs off the shelf and started rearranging.
A bit of a rearrange.
Bit of a dust off.
Yeah, well, you know.
Gently stroke Shatner's face.
Star Trek definitely takes up a lot less space now that we have DVDs. Amazon Prime and Netflix and things than it used to with all the VHS.
I mean, I've got some of the DVD box sets because I collected them when DVDs were in, before we had quite the prevalence of digital downloads that we do. But yeah, I mean, I don't use the DVDs. I just watch them on Amazon or whatever.
Yes. Now you don't even have a DVD player.
That's a good point. I have nothing to play them on. Not even a laptop with an optical drive now.
Wow.
We are truly...
This is the future.
We are truly in a post-DVD society, people.
Remember
Gotta keep up.
Remember, like, in 2009, where we looked back at things like VHS and, you know, Betamax and vinyl.
Do you remember 2009?
And thought, ha, 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 all of that old technology is obsolete. Yeah, DVDs, obsolete now. I'm calling it.
Yeah, well...
It's happened today.
I mean, even Blu-ray, right? I don't have a Blu-ray player. I've got a couple of Blu-rays because I did have a Blu-ray player at one point. But I can get the high-def thing streamed on my internet connection, so why would I bother with a Blu-ray? Kind of mad, really.
And I suppose it's even better as well because you've got all the DVDs, but you can watch them in high-def, so they're better than the DVDs when they come over the internet.
We have digressed a little bit, though, because we were talking about how big a Star Trek fan Catherine is. Now we're just being nerds.
Discussing digital
Star Trek. You know about it then.
A little bit.
Apparently.
I may have forgotten some of it. But, you know, I was the kind of person that would read the Star Trek encyclopedia cover to cover because, you know, Wikipedia didn't exist then.
You.
Can you give us a random Star Trek fact?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Yes, I am. I'm putting you on the Spock.
I think an episode of Star Trek Voyager in Series 1 cost about $1.4 million to make.
Okay.
Wow.
What about Series 6?
I don't know. I don't have all the knowledge anymore.
Okay, so we've talked about the fact that it's Star Trek's birthday. Mm-hmm.
So why are we going to Birmingham? Just randomly just going to go to Birmingham and...
And stick a candle in the ground and blow it out and say, happy birthday, Star Trek.
Yes, we're giving Star Trek a Birmingham
I mean,
cake.
I'd have made Star Trek a cake, but if you're just going to give it Birmingham, then...
Well, nobody else wants it.
Okay, so... you have a very valid point.
So there's going to be a dirty great Star Trek convention in
Blimey.
Birmingham at the NEC. And we're going to go, yay!
We are.
We are. So,
what's happening?
Okay, so as far as I know, we don't know much at the moment, just that it's going to happen and it's going to be big and it's going to be over 3 days. I think it was the 7th to the 9th of October. So we have a few guests confirmed. We know that William Shatner will be there.
The Shat.
The main man, really, when it comes to Star Trek.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Your key mountain climber.
Yes.
Your key mountaineer. Yes.
Captain Kirk is making a podcast. Why is he making a podcast?
Do we even have a Kirk-related jingle?
Because he's in love with the podcast.
Aren't we all? So it's going to be an exciting 3 days full of stuff. We're going to be there. We'll be there in cosplay.
Well, I hope so. I've already started working on it, but...
I haven't got the faintest idea what cosplaying going to go, we'll be live tweeting, we'll be doing bits and pieces of audio, we'll do some geekly stuff from the event, but it's going
crazy.
To be amazing, and you're not going.
That is very true.
Because
I'll be here, like, not in Birmingham, watching you tweet stuff and like, you know, feigning as much enthusiasm as I can.
As we have all come to expect.
Yes.
So that's that, really?
Yeah, yeah. Very exciting.
That's what's happening.
So if you're a Star Trek fan, you should totally come and see us. And
yeah, so what, are the dates? What are the details?
Okay, so let's check if I was right. It is the 7th to the 9th of October at the NEC in Birmingham, and it's Destination Star Trek Europe.
Fantastic.
That's the official name.
Website,
if you
want to
Google it up. It's destinationstartrek.com.
Cool.
Yep. So we have guest info of William Shatner, Christopher Lloyd of both Star Trek and
Back to the Future.
Jonathan Frakes, Walter Koenig, Marina Sirtis, Nicole DeBoer, Terry Farrell and stuff already confirmed.
Loads of Star Trek actors and actresses. Actri going to be there.
Actorodies.
Okay.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Now, it's a special day today for a lot of reasons.
Oh, God, is it?
We were talking about Star Trek's birthday. Other people have birthdays today as well.
They do.
It's not mine, don't worry. You've not forgotten
it.
You've not forgotten it.
Oh, all right.
Guess who was born today?
Cancel the emergency cake. It's not because it's a birthday.
Guess who was born today?
Well, I know it wasn't me.
Well, actually, today.
Not today,
today.
Today.
Like,
I mean, on this day in history.
People. Oh,
I got nothing.
Abraham Lincoln. But more impressively, because, you know, let's not talk about Abraham Lincoln. There are some historical pros and cons.
Lincoln?
Charles Darwin was born today. Today is Charles Darwin's birthday. Obviously,
happy birthday, Charles Darwin.
Famous for The Origin of Species, the book, or On the Origin of Species, as its full title is. Theory of Evolution, gave us a lot, The Voyage of the Beagle, all of that stuff. Very, very famous.
Came up with that idea.
Came up with that general idea. Yeah. But it's been largely accepted and proven, although, you know, little disclaimer here, other ideologies do exist. Whether valid or not is another question.
Yes,
and,
not necessarily fact, but that's another another debate to be had.
But it is Charles Darwin's birthday. And so, you know, that's obviously a huge figure in science, in geek culture, in everything, really. I mean, it's one of those theories that changed the world. Oh, you're saying Star Trek gets everywhere. Darwin got everywhere, too.
Yes.
And really...
I mean, you know, the whole evolution thing was quite popular, I seem to remember.
Well, it was also very unpopular.
Well, yeah, the idea was very unpopular. Like the you know,
but the actual act
of
evolution
has been quite had prevalent. A lot of uptake. Yeah.
Well, so a couple of years ago, I heard of this thing called the Darwin Awards, and I thought it was like scientific excellence awards or like awards for people who had come up with great breakthroughs and theories. No, actually,
how wrong you were.
The Darwin Awards is for people that should not have evolved.
Yes.
For people who are so stupid.
I believe the criteria for winning a Darwin Award is something along the lines of death or rendering yourself unable to contribute to the gene pool.
Yes. So there are lots of very terrible stories of people doing ridiculous things to win a Darwin Award. And so over the course of the rest of the show, we would love to hear from our listeners. Have you ever done anything Darwin Award worthy? Do you know anyone that's done anything Darwin Award worthy? What is the stupidest thing that you've ever done?
So are you asking our listeners to say if they've ever done anything
really stupid?
Yeah, that has resulted in their death?
No, just anything really stupid. It doesn't have to have resulted in your death, just something that has, you know, resulted in
something that
injury, maybe you know, being mortified rather than you know, dying.
Something would have mentioned got you an honorable mention on the Darwin Awards.
Space
Nearly
Ruby
winning.
In the chat room says there was a guy that used rope for a bungee cord and pulled his leg off.
Yeah,
that's definitely that's bungee award winning. No, that's Darwin award winning.
Award winning. It's not a good idea.
Well, the guy starting a chainsaw whilst holding it between his legs.
That would certainly win you the Darwin Award.
Certainly cringing a little at that one. So, yeah, there are a lot of things. So I would love to hear from you listeners. Is there anything that you have done or you have witnessed that is particularly Darwin Award worthy?
There's a Darwin Award here. I'm only going to read the start because it's funnier if I don't tell you how it ends. But it begins,
please.
One, a vodka-swilling, pill-popping airline customer. Two, a potted plant made of plastic. Three, airport security video showing the former climbing the latter. And then came the elevator.
Okay, I don't think I want to know the rest, but that
my brain
sounds
is struggling to even make a mental image.
Yeah, that sounds intense.
It's quite incredible. But yeah, you can read them on darwinawards.com if you want to feel better about some poor decisions you've made. Or like silly things you've done. At least you're not as bad as the people on darwinawards.com.
Absolutely. So please do tell us in the chat room. Tweet at us at GKLYCO. You can send us an email, studio@gkly.co. You could text us and call us as well. All of those details are on the website. Please get in touch. Let us know what the stupidest thing, the most mortifying thing you've ever done, ever witnessed, or ever heard anyone else doing is. Because I think we're all keen and curious to hear that. So yeah, we've got a fantastic guest coming up after the next song. Before that, though, let's play a request. Ooh, exciting. Ooh. We're loads in the request queue. Thanks very much, everyone, for requesting. Don't forget, you can request songs in the chat room. You can request songs on Twitter. Tell us what you want to hear. This one, thank you very much, Penman, for requesting it.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like a new Star Wars trailer. Only we have spoilers.
So this week we've had news about black holes and waves and gravity and things.
All kinds of space stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of talk about space this week. Very exciting. But it was, I was listening to the radio in the car on the way home from somewhere the other day, and they said, oh, there's going to be a big announcement tomorrow. Obviously, as exciting as science gets, like, we're going to pre-announce this announcement.
Yes.
But actually, the three of us don't really know enough about this subject to talk about it credibly. It's very exciting, but
I have no idea what's going on.
You don't even know what gravity is.
I don't even know where we are right now.
I mean, just to
give you some context for how much help I'm going to need with this gravity wave situation.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize just how much I'd repressed my physics degree until I heard this news.
Yeah.
And realized I need some help.
Yeah.
Well, so on that note, let's get in someone who is far more an expert than I. And through the magic of technology now, we should have Ruby Ferguson on the phone with us. Hello, Ruby.
Hello.
Oh, I do love it when it works.
It does work, yes. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely. So so you are a physics enthusiast, a physics student, a physics professor, Stephen Hawking? please tell us.
Oh, I wish. So I'm an undergraduate at the University of Lancaster. Woo, shout out to Lancaster. And, yeah, just a general physics nut in my spare time as well.
A general physics nut. That is fantastic. A good description right there.
Yes.
If I were to be on Match.com, that would probably be my header. but I'm not. Please don't look for me on there. So, so this news then, I mean, you know, as Catherine said, there was something wavy. It's a bit black hole-y. What has actually been announced?
So, gravitational waves are an interesting phenomena, which... so, essentially, the universe, it can be imagined to be essentially like a big, flat rubber sheet. When you get big, moving bodies happening through it, like black holes, as you mentioned, or...
me after Christmas dinner.
Other fun objects like neutron stars, they essentially warp space-time, which is what the universe is made from. And if you move them quick enough and accelerate them at silly velocities, then they can essentially cause ripples to go across the universe in a similar way to throwing a pebble into the center of a pond.
What would you say is a silly velocity here? Are we talking like 88 miles per hour or perhaps slightly more than
talking...
that?
so you'd be talking at significant fractions of the speed of light. So the speed of light is 3 × 10⁻¹⁰. That's 30 million meters per second. And you'd be looking at some significant fraction, so well over half of that. So, I mean, unfathomably fast velocities.
That's almost as fast as I move towards a buffet table at a wedding. So really fast things moving over essentially what is a sheet of rubber and creating ripples. So do we live in this sheet of rubber then?
Yeah, so it's mind-bending to get your head around because the universe, as people think of it, is... people generally think of it as a 3D space. You know, you can go forwards, you can go backwards, you can go sideways, you can go up and down.
A bit like a bubble.
But, yeah. But the one that they miss is the fact that there is a fourth dimension of time. So, obviously, we're generally always going forwards in time, but that can change. You can change the rate at which you flow through time. And it all gets a bit messy. So the rubber sheet analogy is the simplest way of thinking about it without your brain turning purple and it leaking out of your ears.
That happens to me in physics lectures.
Yeah, there we go.
I used to just nod off.
what fascinates me then is because there's been a lot of talk about time and the way that time works in with this announcement. And, you know, I remember that quote from Doctor Who where the Doctor describes time as, you know, it's not linear, it's not subjective, it's just a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. And that actually seems to be quite accurate. I think probably Einstein put it better, but...
No, I love it if we discovered that was how Einstein described it.
It was
originally
a direct quote by the Doctor, yeah.
to be honest, Doctor Who's got it... pretty much spot on that case.
As always.
So
everything's bigger on the inside.
If you go back to kind of back in Isaac Newton's day, they tended to look at space as a kind of a theatre in which things were happening. It was fixed. It was unchanging. Things just simply moved within it. But then as Einstein sort of tore that view of the universe down and essentially said that the only people that experience time and space as the same in the same way are people that are essentially together and moving at the same velocities. So essentially it says the faster you go, the shorter things get and the slower they happen.
So if I start jogging on the spot during a physics lecture...
You live slightly longer.
But is that just because you're then actually, you know, being fitter?
Well, I mean, I imagine that would add to it as well. But
if Chris were to jog on the spot and I were to jog to McDonald's and back again with a burger, who would live longer?
I imagine the effect of relativity wouldn't overly help the petting zoo that would become of your furry arteries.
No, well, that's possibly the most graphic description of the effect of a McDonald's cheeseburger that I've ever heard. Yeah. But thank you. Physics and diet advice all in
great.
One.
Great.
So, I mean, this is really huge news then, I guess. I mean, this is essentially being able to prove a theory that Einstein laid out, 100 years ago? Is he that old? So no, 50 years ago. Catherine's glaring at me across the table now. Einstein was 400.
I think it was 100 years ago.
It was 100, yeah. The general theory of relativity, which is the one they've been talking about, was 1915, so 101 years ago. So pretty much the centenary on that. But it's interesting because the news has been talking a great deal about how this proves Einstein's theory of relativity. And in a way, yes, it does, although it's had a number of challenges that it's overcome previously beforehand. The real crux of the matter on this is the fact that it's just another technique that we can now use for analyzing the universe. So we'd expected it to be there, but now there's all kinds of things. So waves will be traveling across the universe since, you know, the universe began at the Big Bang. So it now means that we have another technique whereby we can look at the gravitational waves that have been propagating since the Big Bang and go, well, okay, they indicate something which we can see being produced currently. So maybe this indicates that the situation earlier on in the universe can be sort of thought of as analogous to situations that we see currently, if that makes sense.
It kind of makes sense. I mean, like I said, I'm more an enthusiast than anything, but I imagine a lot of our listeners are probably...
Yeah, that did get a bit long-winded.
fourth-dimensionally than me. It is really interesting, and it, like you say, it's huge news, and you know, we're able to look at things in a different way. Is there anything left? I mean, is that it for science?
Have we completed science?
Yeah, do
we finished now?
Is there some downloadable content that means we can extend science out by a little bit?
We've discovered everything at the moment. We're just waiting for the update.
No, we are a long way off completing science, but I think this is an important step in the right direction. So, there are numerous frontiers that we're still puzzling about. I mean, dark matter's been in the news quite a lot. That's a big area of science that we have got literally no idea about.
Do we even know what dark matter is?
No. So
excellent.
It's just not light matter.
It's just there.
Yeah, so the issue with dark matter is basically galaxies are spinning at the wrong velocities to what we'd expect, indicating that there is considerably more mass in them than we'd expect. But obviously we can't see this mass, so someone has gone, you know what that mass is? It's dark. Which means that it doesn't interact with light in the way that normal matter does, which means we have serious problems detecting it. So there's all kinds of debate as to what it is or where it is or whether it's made of chocolate buttons.
And now, presumably, if it was made of chocolate buttons, we'd definitely want to go and mine it.
Yes. 100%.
So how do we overcome this then? How do we build a dark matter detector? Do we find ways to travel faster through space so we can go and explore it with our own eyes? What's
so
the solution?
There are a number of experiments currently running to detect dark matter. Obviously, the problem is, as it doesn't interact with normal matter, in such a strong way as normal matter does, it interact with light in the same way we expect. It's kind of difficult for us to predict what properties it will have and therefore work out the best ways to detect it. There are a few interesting experiments which basically... are a massive tank of water. The idea being dark matter hits it, a photon is released from the water and it will hit a detector and they'll be able to analyze which direction it came from. And all that. But it's all a bit iffy because you have to stick them under mountains and we've so far been reasonably unsuccessful with
and it could all just be chocolate buttons anyway.
It could, and I deep down, there's a little part of me that hopes it is.
And, that would be nice.
Is dark matter the same thing as antimatter? Basically asking because I want to know whether I'm about to get warp drive.
No. No, you're much closer to getting warp drive than we are to detecting dark matter.
Oh, Zephram Cochram, here I come.
So antimatter is basically exactly the same as normal matter, except the fact that it has the opposite charge. So for the electron, you have the positron. For like quarks, you have anti-quarks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the bartender from Deep Space Nine, right?
And yeah, so that is another interesting one. But actually, they are already making antimatter over in CERN. They've got the ALICE experiment. Is basically colliding matter and antimatter to look at the collisions on that. So,
well, and the fact that it's in CERN does mean that Donald Trump doesn't have it, which is, as always at this time of year, an advantage.
Yes.
Yes.
Not sure if he knows what to do with antimatter, but I'm sure he would try and use it to build a wall, and then Mexico would just disappear, let alone have a wall.
He'd just cancel it out.
Yeah. So,
anti-Mexico.
Yeah. The food there would be terrible.
Yes.
So, random, bizarre sidetrack.
Not
there.
Very filling.
Catherine, you're looking you're vaguely concerned at our ideas of anti-Mexico.
Building an anti-Mexico.
Yes.
Anything to add, Catherine?
Not really, no. So I have had a few sort of nice physics-y flashbacks that weren't terrible.
That's good.
Yay. Do you think that you might start to like physics again?
Maybe one day.
Well, Ruby, you have had a profound impact on Catherine, if nothing else.
Is always good.
Well, yes, and I mean, it is quite inspiring when you really think about it. I think there's so much knowledge, and physics is such a broad subject, and I think certainly when we think about understanding the universe more, for a lot of people, kind of figuring out our place in the universe and how all of that works is a really nice way to go about discovering more about ourselves and the way that we live as well. So that's my kind of deeply profound point of view. You're just sat there thinking about Haribo, aren't you?
Yep.
There we go. Well, Ruby, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, last but not least, you know, there's so much going on in physics right now and in science in general. How can we keep up with all of this? Is there a way that we can get involved and help? I mean, I have SETI at home running on my computer, but that's about it. You know, what can we do to help discover more of the universe?
To discover more of the universe, well, I think the easiest way to do it is to, you know, get a physics degree and get yourself over to an observatory. But
go out with a torch.
To be honest, I think the best thing the public can do is just to keep up interest in it. Cause, I mean, obviously, with like Tim Peake going to the ISS, it's really encouraging sort of the public to take an interest in science, and I think if we keep that interest up, it will lead to, you know, more funding for the European Space Agency, more funding for CERN. And I think that can only be a good thing, and that can only be sustained if the public demand for science is there. And I think it really is at the moment. And I hope it continues into the future, because it's one of the most worthwhile pursuits that I think humanity can do.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening, Ruby. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And now, the whipping forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of Elmley at 1900. The general synopsis this evening. Cream, 5. Aching biceps later. Bottom, 2. Euphemistically, 12. Cool whip, 7. Cool whip, overdone, becoming tired at times. Archaeology professors, 5. With whip, 9. Raiding lost arcs later. Mousse, spongy and firm, alternating sweet and savoury. Storm Irene, 42. Disappointments likely. Angel Delight, 6. Occasional bad aftertaste. Horses, 3. Rawhide ye and occasionally whore. And that ends the whipping forecast.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Game of Geeks again.
Wow. Ooh.
It's the last one in this way.
What is Game of Geeks, Catherine?
So, Game of Geeks is our regular quiz slot where I'm the quiz master, and Kez and Chris pit their knowledge of movies against each other.
And how are we doing so far?
Well, so
9
far.
Episodes
you
into
say
the series.
With the smuggest face you have ever pulled on this show.
Tongue sticky out emoji.
So Kez has won 5 shows.
Whoa! 5 and, out of
Chris,
9.
No.
Out 5
of
out of 8.
Oh, out of 7.
7. 7, yes.
So we've actually done 8 whole shows. This is number 9.
Uh-huh.
That's how counting works.
Yes. But okay,
so you've gone from saying that physics really isn't your bag anymore to, oh, by the way, I'm better at maths than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, maths, physics,
well,
different
my
things.
Physics degree was mainly maths, so. It kind of helps. Continue, super play. Okay. So I give clues to films. And
neither of us understand them.
No, but occasionally.
And then you give us an easier clue.
Occasionally you buzz in anyway.
And we do have these wonderful buzzers in front of us.
You do. So this week, Kez goes.
Kez hasn't pressed the button that turns the buzzers on.
Every single week I do that.
Yes, yeah. You do.
I remember to press my button.
Okay,
week,
so.
Kez goes.
Very Star Trek related.
Yeah. And Chris goes.
Assimilate this.
I see.
Fantastic.
I'd like to know which of those is my favourite.
Plus points to anyone in the chat room who can tell us what those were from.
Yep.
Not that it's apparent.
No. A bit, be specific.
Specific.
Specifics.
Yeah.
Specifics. Anyway, so Game of Geeks. So really, I've won anyway, but Chris, you're fighting for glory this week. You're fighting for honour.
Dignity.
Dignity. That I'm salvaging the remaining scraps of dignity I have after like 90% of it has been worn away on this show.
Okay, so what you're saying is you want me to let you win.
It would be nice of you. It would be the noble thing.
Quizmaster, am I allowed to let him win?
Well, that depends on your scruples.
Yeah.
No.
Is that a no? Okay.
Ha.
I mean, I do have the power switch for the entire buzzer situation,
Chris,
over here. So
assimilate this.
Assimilate this.
Correct.
I know. I have the button in front of me.
But I have the button that controls the button.
I am the man that makes the bargee go away.
Okay. On that note, yes. Shall we play Game of Geeks?
Yes, let's play Game of Geeks. So I'm going to
Game
give
of
you...
Geeks.
Indeed.
Some Hattie saying Game of Geeks.
Yes,
great.
I'm going to give you three clues to each film. If you guess on clue number one, you get 3 points. Clue number two, 2 points. If you need three clues, you only get the 1 point. Okay, so film number one.
Okay, here we go. Fingers on buzzers.
Film number one, clue number one. Over 67 million Americans went to see this film in 1975, making it the first summer blockbuster.
Star Wars?
Nope.
Oh. It was 70s though, right? Star Wars?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't alive.
I wasn't alive either. I just, you know, heard about it, maybe. Okay. So, clue number two. This film's most famous line... You're going to need a bigger boat, was ad-libbed by Roy Scheider.
Stop Googling.
I wasn't Googling. I was typing in the chat room.
Cares.
Jaws.
Yes.
Ah!
Damn it.
So
that makes
sense. I only knew that because I used the catchphrase to someone about a week ago. We're going to need a bigger boat. And they went, oh, that's a good reference. I'm like, I actually have no idea what it's referencing. I just have heard it somewhere. And then they told me it was Jaws. And I was like, yep, never seen it. So I've never seen Jaws.
Wow.
But thanks to a plucky conversation last week.
That has to be cheating.
Wow.
What? Having a conversation with someone is cheating.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think I first heard that when I watched Series 3 of Buffy, because Xander says it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I was like, well, what? That's got to be a quote from somewhere, because it doesn't actually make sense.
Yeah, I like it there, Buffy.
I know.
So,
okay.
Well, sorry, Chris. At least I didn't get it on the first go-round. So I've only got 2 points. You've still got time to catch up.
2 points for Kez.
That was the least comforting thing you've ever said to me.
There.
You ready for film number two? Are the fingers on the buzzers?
Yep.
Fingers are poised and ready.
This is like whack-a-mole here.
Yeah, except whack-a-buzzer. Yeah. Okay, so clue number one for film number two. Benedict Cumberbatch wore false teeth in this film.
I'm trying to think of the film where Benedict Cumberbatch plays George Washington, but I don't think he's done that yet.
No guesses?
No.
Okay, so we will move on.
I think I know
on.
Which one, but I can't remember the name of it.
So we will move on to clue number two. Time ranked Cumberbatch's performance number one in its top 10 film performances of 2014.
It's...
Sorry, my forced teeth were...
Wasn't, it's not the... Hang on, it's not the... it's the,
you,
that
you
one, it's the other
need
one.
To...
Was it The Imitation Game?
Yes, it was.
Ah, there we go. Because I keep getting The Imitation Game and The Theory of Everything mixed up because they were both that year and they were both big films.
But they are both very different stories.
Yes, but I couldn't remember which one Cumberbatch was in and which one the other one was. So, yeah, there we go. Benedict Cumberbun has Indeed. Won it for me. So, 4 points. You've still got time, Chris, to catch up.
Mm-hmm. There's a certain extent to which it just becomes rubbing it in.
Oh,
and I would
dear.
Say that was about 4 weeks ago.
Right. There.
Film number three. Clue number one. This 1995 film's future scenes are set in 2035.
1995. Oh, is it...
No, it's not Khan.
Is it The Fifth Element?
No.
Oh. That was around that time. Terrible film, but... Lots of Bruce Willis in it, which was good.
Bit of Brucey.
Okay, next clue then.
Clue number two. The Monty Python animators... Oh, this Monty Python animator's other films include The Fisher King and Brazil.
What?
Yeah, what? No idea.
This quiz is too hard.
Yes.
Well, a little bit too hard, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen this film, so I don't really know how hard or easy these clues are.
Okay,
so
come on, let's get the next one.
Okay, clue number three for one point.
Uh-huh.
James Cole travels back in time to find out about the army of the...
Army of the Cow.
12 monkeys.
Yes,
1 point. I'm on 5 now, Chris.
You can do it. Funnily enough, the adding up of the twos and the ones is not the hardest part of the quiz.
All you've got to do is get 2 right the first time, and then you can win this one.
Ooh. Sorry about that.
It made you choke
so
with
exciting,
excitement.
Catherine
Indeed,
is choking.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Clue number four. Film number four, even. Clue number one. Mm-hmm. Much of the video game GTA Vice City was based on this movie.
That's not a game I've ever played.
You've never played a game.
That's
you are
why
quite
this
correct.
Is clue number one.
You don't video game. That's me.
You are quite correct.
I do the video gaming.
That's also not a game I know anything about.
I don't know the answer to this one. I've stumped.
Okay, clue number two then. This film's most famous line is, "Say hello to my little friend."
Oh, God, what's that one?
Yeah, I recognise the quote.
It's
got Peter Capaldi in it. No? Okay, then.
No.
You're waving TNT12 at me. I don't know.
Well, he's my little friend.
Distracting.
Hello, TNT12.
This is the most distractable quizmaster ever. Hey, look, shiny thing, give me a point.
No.
Okay.
Damn
no,
it, why have I never tried that? I could win this quiz.
Well, I don't know this one,
no.
So...
Okay, then. So, clue number three, four, just the one...
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's 1 point, then, if you can get it on clue number three. This 1983 cocaine-fueled film uses the F-word and its derivatives an average of 1.32 times per minute.
Oh, I think if this is, like, the cult classic that we're thinking of...
Assimilate this.
Are you going to get in there before
you were on the point of pressing the button, so I wanted to press the button.
What is it then?
I know what it is. You are mouthing it at me across the table.
I'm trying to be helpful. You didn't have to tell the listeners.
Oh, no.
Now they just think we're cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Catherine,
it's not really cheating.
Is it Pulp Fiction by any chance?
No.
You see,
oh, the old double bluff.
I didn't think it was, but Kez did that thing.
I was actually mouthing My Little Pony across the table to you. You just misinterpreted it.
Well, I suppose
is it the Care Bear movie?
They're easy films to mistake.
Is it the Care Bear movie?
No. If people want to keep buzzing in, you can.
No. Have we got another film?
Yes, we have another film.
Okay, let's try that one then. No points for that one.
No points. So, for honour and stuff like that.
For honour and
dignity.
Stuff like the little of it we have left, if any.
Okay.
We had a couple of guesses in the chat room for the last one.
Oh, yeah.
So, Amy said, was it Dirty Dozen?
No.
And OB6160 said Reservoir Dogs?
No.
Okay, then, fine.
I haven't even told you what it is, have I?
Nope.
Worst quizmaster ever.
I know, right?
Yeah. Scarface.
Assimilate this.
Is it Scarface?
Oh my god.
No points.
You get
Yay!
0 points.
Okay. I won something.
Next
cluey thing. Right. Several of the major battle scenes in this 1995 film had to be reshot as extras were seen wearing sunglasses and wristwatches.
So, a film where there are no sunglasses and no wristwatches.
There's battle scenes. I'm thinking, is it... Braveheart?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
What?
I've not even seen Braveheart. I'm revealing to everyone that I've seen shockingly few films.
But you've still managed to rustle up 8 points.
I've seen many more films than you, and I'm on a solid zero.
Yeah. But I've never seen Braveheart, but I just, the year it seemed about right, you said battle scene. I was like, what film would be the most ridiculous to have wristwatches and sunglasses in? Obviously Braveheart.
Obviously.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Hi, Chris.
I don't like this game anymore.
Hi. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm not on the end of series high I was hoping for.
But you, I mean, you've done well.
You started off really well.
Yeah, by winning like two.
I was really worried because I was really hoping to like beat the pants off you this series, which obviously I've done. But right at the start, you beat me on the first show, and I was so worried that was how the rest of it was going to go. Little did I know that the rest of it would be like this. How are you feeling?
Well. Defeated.
That's because you are.
Yes.
Well, as the Ferengi say, dignity in an empty sack is worth the sack.
All right.
So
helpful as ever, Ferengi.
So what that means for the last, I mean, we've got a very special Game of Geeks at the live show next week, but for the last radio-based Game of Geeks at the series, that means that
this week's winner is
me.
Yes, if that wasn't painfully obvious enough.
Hi, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Who won Game of Geeks this week? There's just an obscene gesture and a really, really angry look. So I think that means it's time for another song. Request we played was from Cartoon Code. Thank you very much. And Cartoon Code in the chat room actually created some really fantastic graphics for us to show off.
Ooh.
They're different episodes. So we tweeted them out earlier. They're on the website. If you go to the front page of the website, you can click through to new episode logos. But what a talented cartoonist. They look awesome, don't they?
They do. That's
they
so
do.
Funny.
They are fantastic.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Catherine, for hosting a great series of Game of Geeks. It's been a lot of fun.
Has it? Has it really?
I've enjoyed it. So on to things that don't have us competing against each other. Next show, next episode, with this being the penultimate in the series, next episode is the last in the series.
And you may have to compete against each other a little bit.
We will have to commit.
But this time it'll be more fun, and I might have a chance of winning because it's a special all or nothing.
Yes,
Game
so
of Geeks.
We are clearing the slates for Geekly Live, and Chris and I will be competing.
I'd just like to point out this was my idea because I realized. How defeated I was.
So you may win the battle, but ultimately you lost the war. So, but
I win the more important big one on TV.
Yes.
So, you know, in reality,
so
what else matters?
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about our television episode.
Yes, that's a thing.
So the next episode of the Geekly Chronicles will be in your eye holes as well as your ear holes, as Catherine so delicately puts it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As is the slogan we have chosen.
So what does that mean? How can people get involved?
Well, all good TV shows have an audience, and if you would like to be in ours, tickets are still available until midnight on Sunday, I think.
That's right,
so the end of this week, you have basically book them right now. But if you go to gklwhite.co/tickets or click
tickets.
The massive live button on the site, you can get tickets. There's a package where you're a person and you come and sit in our audience and like enjoy it, which will be enforced, by the way, and there's a VIP package where you get all of the usual geekly fun and being in the audience, and you also get a bonus geekly goodie bag.
And the goodie bag has some fantastic stuff in it. We've been tweeting about our Geekly mugs that we've been using on the show
Indeed
for a few
we
weeks. You'll get one of those. There are some Geekly t-shirts, stickers, all kinds of things in the bag, actually. Mm-hmm.
There are.
Very cool.
It's going to be very exciting.
So please come via VIP. And if you can't be a VIP, at least be a P.
Yes. And the live show is at our usual time of 7 o'clock on the 26th of February, which is in 2 weeks.
2 weeks' time. So so the last episode is in exactly the same cadence as all the other episodes. You will be able to get it on Friday next week, and it will still be broadcast live too.
Yes, it will.
So while at the moment you're listening to us audio only, many of you may be doing it via the phone or whatever, but there is a kind of a big YouTube box on our website that you often click play and then listen to the show through, as many of you might be listening through right now. That will actually have our faces on it next time. So we'll be broadcasting live via YouTube.
Crazy.
No special software required. Just sit back and enjoy.
Yes. You'll also be able to listen to the audio version just in case you want to, if you're popping out. But where would be the fun in that?
Really, a lot of it will be very visual. Yes. What with it being on TV and
yes.
all.
Yes.
And
I will stress, visual gags.
It's not just a few cameras dotted around our regular studio. We are actually going to a television studio to do this.
Indeed,
hence
we are.
The studio audience.
Yes.
So please do go on, get some tickets. If you're in London or near London or want to fly to London, please come and be in our studio audience. I know that we have someone flying. That's quite cool to be in the audience.
Are they getting a plane or are they just like spread wings?
Spread wings. Why wouldn't they? Everyone can fly, right? And
sure.
Trains and automobiles, lots of people will be there. So please do come.
Trains and
you'll get to hang out with us in person, be part of the studio audience. There may even be some opportunities for audience participation.
Yes, for which you will win glorious prizes.
Yes, lots and lots of cool stuff coming up on the live show. So please, it's a one-off trial. This is the only time that we have got planned that you will be able to be a part of a live studio audience for Geekly.
Indeed.
And that will be the end of Series 3, but we do have more Geekly.
We do.
Series 3 may be coming to an end at the next show, but when will Geekly Series 4 be back?
It's a very good question.
And Catherine's opening the calendar on her computer now, isn't she? Because she can't remember the dates.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
There will be a short hiatus.
So, as always, we'll be taking a break between the series. We like to take a little bit of time off.
Take stock.
Relax.
Do some planning.
Yeah, maybe go out for a Friday for a change. And plan and really talk to our listeners and see what we keep doing, what we stop doing. So we will be taking a slight series break. And then we'll be back with Geekly Series 4.
We will.
Yes.
When?
It looks like that will be on the 8th of April.
The 8th of April.
Crazy.
So basically we're taking March off.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So 26th of February, Episode 10, Series 3. That'll be the last of Series 3. Then we're back with Series 1 of Episode 4 on April the 4th.
Or Episode 1 of Series 4.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
No.
Episode 4 of Series 1.
That's what you said, yeah.
Wow.
We did Episode 4 of Series 1.
Back in time. No, I'm not rebroadcasting that one.
No.
So,
I think that one went missing, didn't it?
I know. Might well have done. So Series 4, we've got it all planned, and it will be the same, exactly the same time slot and the same length and frequency as this series. So from April the 4th, you'll then get 10 episodes of the Geekly Chronicles.
Or April the 8th.
April the 8th, you'll then get 10 episodes of the Geekly Chronicles every 2 weeks.
Oh, dear.
7 till 9 GMT.
Or BST.
Or BST.
As it will be by then.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But going back to that live show.
That is a thing that is happening. There's all sorts of exciting things happening.
But
many of which we haven't told you about because they're going to be surprises, obviously.
But we have told people that we're giving away our prize draw.
Yes, we have. There are some fantastic things in it, if I do say so myself.
Well, we've tried to add a prize to the prize draw every week.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will, as I always say, our disclaimer here, it is a draw. It's an actual draw.
There is a real draw.
That is just because I spelt it incorrectly the first time we typed it up on the website.
And so now,
I typed draw as in physical draw.
With an ER.
It's terrible.
Yes.
So I typed drawer.
For the avoidance of doubt, it was suggested to me after the last show that we need someone who pronounces the ER on the end of draw. So Catherine, in your most West Country of accents.
We have a prize. I can't even think about saying it. It's like my brain and my voice have got disconnected. Prize drawer.
Drawer.
Thank you. Drawer.
Drawer.
Turnips.
We don't have any turnips in the prize drawer.
Yet.
So we've got an actual physical drawer that you
yes,
will get
we do.
Given as
it's
part
here
of
in the studio. It's
as
quite
part
packed.
Of the prize. We'll get given the prize drawer and the drawer has some stuff inside it. What does the drawer have inside it?
The drawer has inside it The Geekly Jingle script signed by Hattie Hayridge. A signed copy of About the Walls by Irene and the Disappointments, the guest from episode one. A portable USB charger. A tile donated by Jess, so you never lose your keys again, who was guest in episode two or three. An original Game Boy, including some games such as Tetris and Pokemon Yellow. A Rising Games wristband from Michael, who is set up the Rising Games studio in episode two. A McDonald's cheeseburger and fries from episode, I think that was six. You didn't have enough fingers up. which, yes, it is an optional part of the prize and will be sealed in Tupperware. We just wanted to find out, because we had that story of the guy that kept it for like a million years. So we just wanted to find out if the one that we bought on the 4th of December is still good. There's a Taylor Swift 2016 calendar, a set of manly mustaches, and a Pokemon annual, which we lovingly purchased from our local Poundland. There's a WaterAid t-shirt from Catherine's Just Water Challenge. There is a large bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk, which was winner of Richard Osman's World Cup of Chocolate. There is this new prize that we will announce in a moment. There's the drawer that it all goes in, of course, and the manual from IKEA of how to construct said drawer, which we have annotated for your entertainment.
Indeed. And so this week, kind of keeping on with the theme of space and, you know, spacey theme to do with Star Trek, spacey themed, thanks to Ruby, our guest that was on, talking about large rubber sheets of universe that can essentially get ripples in. We were thinking, there's a lot of hype around space at the moment. We've talked a bit about Tim Peake. Astronauts go into space and they have to eat, right? So for this show, we are going to put in the prize drawer some astronaut food.
We are.
Specifically,
a 5-pack selection of astronaut ice creams.
Very nice. And that's the kind of ice cream that's dry, and then I've had some before. You bite into it and the saliva in your mouth turns it into real ice cream. It's kind of, well, not real ice cream, but ice cream stuff. It's bizarre.
Sounds
and it's
really
an experience,
weird.
But it is, but you know, you can't take ice cream to space. You don't have like a space Mr. Whippy machine.
True. You're not allowed to do that.
Mr. Whippy machines would work terribly in zero gravity.
Yes, they would. NASA do get a bit funny if you take food into space, as it turns out.
A little bit.
We have acquired some freeze-dried astronaut ice cream. By the way, Tim Peake, sorry if you find that your flight bag doesn't contain astronaut ice cream. We did have to get it somewhere. But
we may have just dipped into your bag a little bit before you went, Sol.
Yeah. But that will be added to the prize draw. As with everything else, and you can win that during the live final episode of the show.
But you've got to be in it to win it.
You do indeed.
Not in the drawer, obviously. But
no, there's not
in
room.
The drawer. Not
in the drawer.
Drawer,
but not the drawer.
In the drawer, not the drawer.
Yes.
How?
So you can enter to win it, as many of you have, and thank you very much for doing so, at gkly.co/prizes, or click the prize drawer button on the website. Leave us your name or whatever you want us to call you. It could be your Twitter name or your IRC name or whatever, and your email address, so we can let you know that you have won and find out how to get it to you. And we will draw that during the live final episode.
It's like a traffic jam when you're already late, but with a better sense of irony.
That was a beautiful cover version. Thank you very much, Catherine, for alerting us to its presence and it's playing on the show.
Indeed.
Absolutely fantastic. And for a really great cause as well. So thank you, Rick Wakeman, I suppose.
Indeed.
We do like an interesting cover on the show.
We do. So we're almost at the end of the show tonight.
We
10 minutes
almost
to go.
Are.
And this is kind of our last radio show of the series, is next week. Next show, not next week. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be on the telebox.
Indeed.
But there's an important date coming up in between that. Sunday is February the 14th, and as we all know, February the 14th is very famous for
the end of the world.
Yes, we're all going to die.
Yeah,
sounds about
February
right.
February 14th, 2016, as prophesied in Ghostbusters 2.
So Ghostbusters 2, was that the one with the painting that came to life?
Yeah.
So the painting was what was it called? That wasn't Zool. That was Ghostbusters
one.
No, not Igor. Something.
Generic ghost painting.
Why aren't I thinking of this?
It wasn't generic. This ghost painting was imposing and...
specific ghost painting.
Yes.
Yes, specific ghost painting predicted the end of the world for February the 14th, 2016. And so a lot of other people have predicted the end of the world, but a painting from Ghostbusters has as much validity as those people.
Yes.
So but that was New Year's Eve, wasn't it? When obviously the end of the world didn't happen, and that was like back in the 90s or 80s or something.
Oh, there have been loads of them. So it could be. Sunday could be our last day. So thank you for listening to Geekly. We really appreciate you spending one of your last evenings with us.
We might be back for the live TV show.
Yep.
We might not, as it turns out.
I wonder where they got that date from. Did they just a script writer just randomly invent it, or did it actually come from some kind of folklore?
I think, the lady met an alien at the Holiday Inn. And he told her about it.
Yeah, but no, I don't mean in the... the script... Did the script writers base it on any kind of fact?
No idea. I've never investigated the Ghostbusters 2 script.
I've never investigated. Vigo!
Vigo the Carpathian!
Yes, that is the thing that go from the painting. Very imposing looking. And I've just been looking at apparently the real history of Vigo's painting in Ghostbusters 2. We can look this online. Wow. Summary. The painting is in the film zone, blah 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 blah. Okay, fine. This is just a history about the painting. That's useless.
Well, that was less interesting than we thought.
Much less. Okay, so I'll do another Google, shall we? This is live Googling. This is quite impressive.
End of world.
Vigo.
No, it wasn't anything to do with Vigo.
Oh.
It was right at the beginning because Venkman has his show, doesn't he? The paranormal TV show, one of his guests is prophesizing the end of the world.
E! Online has written an article saying this Valentine's Day will bring the end of the world, according to Ghostbusters 2. Well. So let's see if E! Has managed to drag up any facts.
That wonderful reputable source that E! is.
Actually, I'm seeing quite a few news stories.
It's a bummer of a schedule for the end of humanity. 1 minute you'll be sipping wine with your significant other and feeding each other chocolates, and the next minutes you'll be running from the aliens and or the fire and brimstone that's raining down from the sky.
I've had worse dates.
At least it'll make for a memorable date, right? yes, for those of us that are celebrating Valentine's Day, some of us find it a bunch of hooey.
I love that you're trying to find a word you can say on air to express quite the distaste you have for Valentine's Day. Having had this conversation with you before the show, used some quite colourful language.
I did use some very colourful language. It was red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue.
Yes.
My dislike...
You can swear a rainbow.
I can swear a rainbow. My dislike for Valentine's Day is all shades of rainbow. 50 of them, in fact. Yeah, and we had some really great requests in tonight from people as well.
We
haven't been able to play all of them. We've had quite a lot of very, very good requests. Yeah. Thanks to Prosec for requesting another Queen song, a very good Queen song, but because we played Queen earlier in the episode, I didn't want to play that. Cartoon Code, you've requested a couple of other things. Radiohead, Ben Folds, what great taste in music there. We've had some 30 Seconds to Mars requested. We had Nightwish. That's a new one to the list. New one. Our runner, who is going to frequently brings us pancakes and tea and stuff during the show, who you may meet face-to-face during the live show.
Scary, right?
Was just kind of nodding and kind of rocking out a little bit on the sofa to the idea of Nightwish. We've had Imagine Dragons. We've had all kinds of things. Lots of Bowie this evening. So thank you so much for all of your requests. I'm going to click the button that clears the requests now. Here they go. Bye bye.
They all disappeared.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for requesting all of that stuff as well. It's been a good series.
It has.
I've quite enjoyed it. Has. I mean, obviously, it's not over yet. We've got the live show to go, but that's going to be very different.
Mm. It is.
I've enjoyed series 3.
I can't even really envisage how it's going to be yet. I feel.
I mean, that's going kind of worrying because everyone else is going to actually see us.
Yeah. You know, there's a whole what am I going to wear factor. Whereas I'm.
You're not just wearing that.
No, this is my radio outfit.
That why it's a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah.
I should probably put some clothes on, really.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah. When I do leave the house occasionally, you know, with clothes on.
That whole family show.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I'm quite comfortable here in the Geekly studio. I put my feet up and maybe occasionally some socks.
Yeah. Speaking of socks,
I have no idea what I'm going to wear.
Netflix socks, they're in the prize drawer. I forgot that earlier on.
You did?
Yes.
I noticed.
It wasn't on my list that I had written down.
And what, remind me, what are Netflix socks?
So, if you're watching Netflix, and it happens to everyone, you get to episode 3, which becomes episode 8, which becomes episode 13.
It happens frequently, but that's how I got through most of Game of Thrones.
And you end up nodding off through episode 15. The Netflix socks are smart enough to figure out that you've fallen asleep and pause your Netflix for you.
That's clever.
It is, isn't it?
Very clever. So, yep, those will be in there as well.
Yes.
We can. We may even try and do a demonstration.
We might.
Yeah. And of course,
that would depend on actually getting the socks made on time.
Yes. Yes.
We're not even buying the Netflix socks.
Oh,
we're making
them.
Yeah, I'm knitting them. The actual socky bits.
Doing the gadgetry.
And I'm watching.
It could all go horribly wrong. It's fantastic.
You don't want me to do any knitting, and you definitely don't want me to do any electronics.
Very true. Last time that happened, the old studio burned down. Yeah. So,
new studio. Yes. No fire allowed here, mostly because I'm not allowed to touch things that aren't the buttons.
Basically, yeah. So, speaking of things all go... I don't know. Would you rather...
Things that make you go, ooh.
Would you rather... We asked you at the start.
So many votes.
I know. We asked you at the start of the show, rather discover that your wardrobe is a TARDIS or find a portal to Narnia at the back of your wardrobe?
No, at first it was very much skewed towards TARDIS.
It was.
And I was on the side of Narnia, but you kind of started persuading me towards TARDIS.
Yeah, I was on the side of TARDIS.
What do our listeners think?
But our listeners think, with an astonishing 77% of the vote, that they would rather find a portal to Narnia at the back of their wardrobe.
Turkish delight for the win!
Indeed. So just send us your address to our email and we will come around and have that installed for you. And then you'll be able to have all the Turkish delight you want.
Yay. Are we giving away a portal to Narnia in the prize drawer as well then?
If we can find one on eBay or something.
We also had some fantastic stories. So we talked about the fact that it's Charles Darwin's birthday and, of course, the Darwin Awards are those awards for people who we think maybe... well, what was the category?
Shouldn't contribute to the gene pool.
Yes.
And we did have some really interesting stories from people, so thank you very much for that as well. I'm trying to scroll up to them right now, but for some reason, I can't. I should have copied and pasted them, really. I know that Cartoon Code did something like a dive from a dive board from a distance, hit the water and it hurt.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
I'm trying to do some scrolling, but I'm not finding it. Oh, here we go. Is this it? Oh, yes. Cartoon Code. I once belly flopped off a 27-foot diving board into the water. Ooh. Ouch.
Yes. Ouch. That does sound ouch.
I imagine.
And I've got another story here.
Go on.
My former ACF unit, whilst on a training exercise with blanks, got into an accidental firefight with a training unit of fusiliers who weren't firing blanks.
That's probably more ouch than hitting the water from a you can probably survive hitting the water point
yes.
of view.
Non-blank gunfire is a bit more painful.
And fatal.
Yes.
Yes.
Generally.
Indeed.
And speaking of painful and fatal, we are pretty much at the end of the show.
Yeah, we are. So again, thanks to everyone for listening and tuning in. It has been fun. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
We will.
Visually.
Indeed. In your eye holes as well as your ear holes.
Please do follow us on Twitter at GKLYCO. We'll be tweeting plenty of updates and stuff in the meantime. You can stick around in the chat room. We're always popping in and out and saying hello. You can follow the presenters on Twitter. We're all linked from the main Twitter account. Like the page on Facebook too. Apparently some people still use that. So we're on there and, there's the page and talk to us.
Hmm.
Yes.
And we will see you again in... Two weeks.
Indeed,
26th of February. Don't forget, if you want to come to the live show, ticket sales end Sunday night. So you absolutely must get it in by then. But from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
Have a fantastic evening, weekend, end of the world day, and keep smiling.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill. Live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.